Amen. Good morning, everybody. We're going to be in Proverbs chapter 17, verse 17 this morning. So let's pray. Thank you, Lord. We love you. We thank you. Thank you for the opportunity to get up here and brag on Jesus. Thank you for the opportunity to teach and preach your word. Lord, thank you for our church family. They come out this morning. Thank you for the ones that are maybe not here for different reasons. We just pray for them and ask that you help them feel better. And whatever's going on in their life, we do remember the folks on the back of our bulletin as always. Bless them and help them in the ways that they need it. You know that each one. And as always, we bless our military and our missionaries around the world. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Proverbs 17:17 says, "A friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for a time of adversity." Now, what are the qualities of a good friend? These are the things that I was asking myself this week and asking the Lord to show me and teach me in this subject. I believe a true friend walks with you through life. I believe a true friend walks through the good, the bad, and the ugly. I read an article recently. Someone ran a contest for definitions of friendship. Now, let me read you some of the answers. It says, one answer said, "A friend is somebody who multiplies our joys and divides our grief." It's kind of beautiful and poetic. That's a little too mushy for me. Another one said, "A friend is somebody who understands our silence." It's kind of deep, philosophical. But here's the definition that won the prize. A friend is someone who comes in when the whole world goes out. I thought that was a good definition. We need friends who will strengthen us with their prayers. We need friends that will bless us with their love and then encourage us with their hope. A true friend is one that will come on the scene when we need him or her. A friend is somebody wise enough to maybe leave us alone and give us a little distance when we need it. A friend helps you celebrate your wins and helps you mourn your losses. The Bible says a true friend sharpens our character. The book of Proverbs has much to say about true friendship. Proverbs 27:17 says this, "And as iron sharpens iron, so a man sharpens the countenance of his friend." So I looked at this word countenance. We all know what it means. I looked it up in the Hebrew, and yes, it means face. But more specifically, it means facial expressions. So if you're a true friend, a good friend with someone, and their countenance, their facial expression maybe looks a little down, that friend is there to try to bring them up a little bit. Maybe that friend is a little angry or frustrated. That friend's there to say, "Hey, calm down, man. It's going to be all right." Maybe that friend's facial expression, their countenance, is sort of negative in some way. That friend, that good Christian friend, can be there for them to encourage them, to sharpen them, to tell them, "Hey, wait a minute. I don't think you need to go down that road. Don't go down that road." A good friend will put a keen edge on your life, but a false friend will blunt and dull your life. Our English word for friend relates to the word freedom. In other words, a good friend is there to help us, to spur us on, to encourage us to be everything that God has called us to be in our life. That edifier, that encourager. A friend knows how to speak words that will draw you out and lead you on. Now, we should have friends who make us a better person. It's a wonderful thing that the person that you're married to is your friend. Lynn is my best friend. I don't like being away from her. She doesn't like being away from me. We like being together. I hear from time to time men at work talk about how, oh, I'm going on this trip, or I'm going on this business trip, and I'm getting away from the old lady for a week. I just don't understand that. I understand there's times when we have to be away from each other for different reasons. I enjoy her. I like her. I think she likes me. She's my best friend. Together, we are one. The Bible talks about that, right? That's a whole sermon in itself. And in our oneness, we try our best to keep God first in our life. To keep God first in our marriage and our relationship. Keep God first within our friendship. God's friendship, the Bible says, sticks closer than a brother. And He sharpens us by His word and His constant presence. Please understand that one. Another way a godly friend sharpens you is by confronting you when you have done wrong. Proverbs 27:6 says this, "Faithful are the wounds of a friend." Yeah, that's what it said. Listen closely. "Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful." That's what the Bible says. The kisses of an enemy are flattery, lies, and manipulation. A wise man once told me this, "Don't let a kiss fool you, and don't let a fool kiss you." Amen. But, everybody say but. But, thank God for friends who love us enough to put their arms around our shoulders and tell us when something needs to be corrected. A true friend sticks close. A true friend supports you, loves you, encourages you, and yes, will try to correct you when they see you starting to go down the wrong trail. If you want to know who your real friends are, make a mistake and look who stays with you. One of the great cautions about friendship in the Bible is this. Proverbs 27:10 says, "Do not forsake your friends or your father's friends." Let's all remember the definition of friendship. A friend is somebody who walks in when the whole world walks out. Not not that fair weather friend who jumps on board when the sun is shining and steps off when the times get rough. Friendships are built, but they don't happen overnight. It takes work, patience, grace, forgiveness, and trust. Now, I read an article this week about 5 secrets to making a friend. All come from this one principle verse given by Christ. It's Luke chapter 6, verse 31. He says, "Do unto others as you would have them do unto you." Now, this article comes from one of my favorite preachers, Dr. Adrian Rogers. He listed 5 things that we need to look for in being a friend, or being a friend, or having friendship, or making friends. Here's the 5, and I'll go through them quickly. Number 1, accept. A-C-C-E-P-T. Accept. Dr. Rogers says, Jesus called his disciples friends. Were they perfect? No. But Jesus does not change us so that he can love us. He loves us so that he can change us. We are all accepted by the grace of God, and we should accept others by the grace of God. Number 2, he says, acknowledge. Acknowledge. The road to the heart is often through the eyes and the ears. He says, pay attention to people. Give them your full attention. Make eye contact. Psalms 34:15 says this, "The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their cries." See, God's ears and eyes are on us. If you want people to love and appreciate you, put your eyes on them. Open your ears to them. When we acknowledge a person, we are saying, "You are important to me." And people need that. Number 3, appreciate. Appreciate. Find something you can compliment and appreciate. The Apostle Paul had a lot of problems to deal with in the early churches. But you will find that when he wrote the epistles, before he would jump on something wrong, he would say some words of appreciation and praise. I'm going to try my best to always remember that in my life. Number 4, affirm. Affirm. Why do people have difficulty doing the above things that we've mentioned? Because a lot of people struggle with low self-image or a negative self-image. A lot of suicides happen in the world because people just want to be affirmed. They just want to know that they're going to be okay. It's all right. People think, "I'm no good. Nobody appreciates me." People think that. The devil is a liar and the father of lies. He's the accuser of the brethren. Proverbs chapter 11 verse 9 says this, "The hypocrite with his mouth destroys his neighbor." Sometimes I believe if we can't say something good, maybe we just don't need to say anything at all. Number 5. Dr. Rogers says this, assure. Assure. People want understanding and compassion. Romans 12:15 says this, "Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep." When people are going through heartache and tears, they are not necessarily or primarily interested in the answers that you might have for their problems. What they're really looking for is someone to sit down with them and listen to them and maybe even cry with them a little bit. Assure them that you care. Theodore Roosevelt said, "People don't care how much you know until they know how much you care." Once you build a friendship, it has to be maintained and nurtured. Friendships are difficult. They're difficult to maintain. It's not healthy to have too many close friends. Don't have more friends than you can be friendly to. With friendships, quality is always better than quantity. Real friends are costly. Benjamin Franklin said, "Be slow in choosing a friend and slower in changing a friend." We all know that friends can bring personal and social and emotional and financial demands. Maintain your friendships. It is worth it. Christians make friends not just for a lifetime, but for eternity. And we all know that Jesus made friends with sinners. There are a lot of people in need of the love and friendship of Jesus Christ. We are now His body, and we should be reaching out to people who are lost. People are starving for acceptance and approval. The lost unbelievers are desperately looking for a friend. Even Christians, believers in Christ, are desperately looking for true friends. The Bible gives us a good example of how we can show them an opportunity for friendship and love. And it's in Luke chapter 14. I'm going to read it to you as we close. Luke chapter 14, verses 16 through 23. I'll tell you the story. Jesus told this story. A man prepared a great feast and sent out many invitations. When the banquet was ready, he sent his servant to tell the guests, "Come, the banquet is ready." But they are beginning to make excuses. One said, "I have just bought a field and must inspect it. Please excuse me, I can't go." Another said, "I have just bought 5 pairs of oxen and want to try them out. Please excuse me, I can't go." Another said, "I just got married, so I can't go." The servant returned and told his master what they had said. The master was furious and upset, and he said, "Go quickly into the streets, into the alleys of the town, and invite the poor, the crippled, the blind, and the lame." And the servant had done this, and he reported, "There still is room for more." So his master said, "Go out into the country lanes and behind the hedges and urge them to come in so that my house will be full." Guys, Jesus is asking us to ask them to join us at the fellowship table of the Lord. It's the holiday season. We've got a lot of festivities planned. A lot of eating. A lot of food. Ask them. Ask your neighbor. Ask your coworker. Ask your friends. Ask your families to join us for our festivities. We're getting ready to start practicing for Christmas music. Invite them. They would love to come in and hear some Christmas music. A Thanksgiving meal. Lost people are longing for a place that serves good food, fellowship, and friendship. Can I be practical about it? Let's pray. Father God, we love you. We thank you. Thank you so much for this message that challenged me. And I hope it ministered to your people. Father, if there's one here this morning that's never accepted Christ as their Savior, I'd ask that today be the day that they give their life to you. If you're here this morning and you'd like to get saved, I'd just like for you to pray with me right where you sit, or you can come to this altar and we'd be glad to pray with you. Just say this prayer with me. God, I repent of my sins. I ask you to forgive me of my wicked ways. I give you my life. Place my faith in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. From this day forward, I'm going to serve you. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.